I'm sorry for these long intros. I'm trying to share and get things out. And so my intros end up being just a little bit long, or I'm grabbing coffee, or I'm doing some crazy thing. How are you? I am Izawellen, and this is Izawellen Writes Grown Up Storytime. Thank you so much for joining me. I have a guest entering the chat today, calling in today, Angelique. I'm not quite sure how to say her last name. I'll probably butcher it. She is a romance writer from Twitter, where and the writing community there, where all the writers hang out and we talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk about marketing. We ask questions like, how do you name a character? How do you come up with character names? How many words should be in a chapter? What other kind of questions do people ask? All kinds of questions in the writing community on Twitter. And I put out, hey, does anybody want an interview? And she was like, yes. And I'm like, yay. So she will be hopefully entering soon. How are you people today? I hope that everyone is really good. I've been messing with sound on the computer again. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I've been trying to do some Zoom classes, and I got these little, you know, the wireless, the Bluetooth things, and they're not linking up sometimes. Oh, there she is. She is here. Sometimes they link up and sometimes they don't. Hello.
Good afternoon, or is it still morning for you?
I am PST, and it is now 1 p.m. So, and you're it's like 4 o'clock where you are, right?
Almost, yeah. A couple minutes, too.
Almost 4 o'clock, yeah. So, yeah, I'm Pacific time. Do you do any Facebook groups and stuff? Any of the, when you do, you launch a book and you'll launch it in a romance Facebook group? Do you do that?
I do a couple. Yes.
I'm asking because you understand the my misery of trying to schedule posts for something like that. You know, yes, you're trying, you're in the group and everybody's some different time zone, you know, and you're trying to schedule your post, or if you do it in a party and you're with like 10 other women and you
I have not been brave enough actually to do a party. Just because of that reason. And, you know, let's face it. I'll be completely honest, right? This is a show where we tell our deepest, darkest secrets.
Absolutely.
I'm a techno idiot. I'm an absolute techno idiot. So the easier anybody can make this on me, the better, really.
Yeah. Yeah, easy is good. And for me, you know, it's just the time zone thing. I can't count. I don't math. I tell everybody that. So counting is math, right? And I'm interviewing someone tonight, actually, who is in, I believe he told me, is he in South Africa? He is like across the world. And I'm like, okay, so what day is it for you? Because I'll be interviewing him about 10, 11, 12 at night in between there somewhere. And it will be his morning. And I'm like, so is it still Wednesday for you? What day is it? And then I have another friend who's in Australia, 17 hours ahead. Yeah, all my Australian friends. And then we have someone who listens and who's in New Zealand sometimes too. And I'm like, you know, I'm so glad I could record it. Time zones are hard. I don't mean to take up your time by complaining about time zones. So how do you pronounce your last name? How do you pronounce your last? Is it Angelique? You better say it.
It's Angelique. Yeah, if we're in the U.S., it's Bigliori, but in Italy, it's Migliore. So wherever you are in the world, if you're looking at it, that's fine. You know, I have one of those.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
It's so funny, too, because now that we're talking about names, I was looking at your name and I was saying it over and over again. And I'm like, that is so beautiful. And I'm like, if I say it 5 times, is she going to appear out of the mist and grant me wishes? Like, you have the name of a demigoddess. Like, Seriously, so I'm speaking to a demigoddess here.
Well, Isoellen, or people call me ISO for short, just because it looks like, and it doesn't really, you can call me Isoellen too. I get that too. But when I was, she is the character of my epic, my junior high epic fantasy. And that name was, I've always really, people would like be like, I don't have any reference for that. And I'm like, it's not that hard. You just, you know.
I know, but it just, it flows magically off the tongue. And I'm like, I just want, so if you feel somebody chanting your name with reverence, yeah, that's me.
I'll just
so
you know, appear in sparkles, you know.
Yes.
And come great, grant your writing wishes.
Yes. Yes.
That'd be amazing. I wish I could do that. I so wish I could do that. That would be so fun.
Honestly, I just think you need to tell people that you can do it and just roll with that. Just roll with it. Just own it.
I'll get in too much trouble if I start calling myself a goddess. There's too many goddesses on Twitter that'll be like, uh-huh. Right? then there'd be a throwdown and I have to defend my throne and that's not going to go over very well. So
I will be your champion. Oh, I will be your champion.
So tell me, Angelique, right? Angelique. Yes, I want to say it right because that's just too pretty that way. So tell me what you write. I saw the covers. I didn't do much research because, hey, I'm just flying by the seat of my pants as normal. But your covers are really beautiful. So, and they look really interesting. They're very much, hey, I need to pause. Look at these characters. These are interesting looking characters. I need to pause and see what's happening in these books. So tell me what you write.
These three that I sent you, the covers that I sent you, are all for Tiergar Publishing's City Night series. And the idea for the City Night series, that these are all, the City Night series is your passport to erotic romance. They publish one story per city. And you kind of, as an author, you have to claim your cities. Like, I want that one, you know, and just get on it and start writing it. But the entire story has to happen. These are all novellas, by the way. So these are 30,000 word novellas. The entire story has to happen within a 12 to 24 hour time frame. And it has to feature the city as much as the story and the couple.
Was that challenging for you? That sounds kind of fun, like a fun challenge. But in that amount of words, 24 hours, and feature the city. So you have to look up your city and do like research.
So I only did cities that I've lived in. And oh, there I know you go. Very well. And love. So, I mean, I love Portland, Oregon. I love Tampa. I am actually a native Floridian. I love Seoul. I used to be a Korean linguist. And, you know, I've lived over there. So I adore these cities. So it wasn't hard for me to choose the cities at all.
Tell me. Wait. You got to go back. What is the story about in Portland?
In Portland, what we have is an army soldier / surgeon who collides with a Korean-American quilt artist on the street.
Oh, wow.
And if you know Portland, you know that it's a city of bridges because there are two rivers that, you know, cross Portland. So there's bridges everywhere. One of its nicknames is Bridgetown. So as Finn, who is my hero, and Lily, my heroine, as they get closer together and get to know each other, they cross more bridges. And with every bridge they cross, they become closer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so really cool.
These are really fun. Yeah, I love that story. In Tampa, I saw Tampa, let me just tell you, I saw that story from beginning to end before I ever wrote it. I have a wounded warrior in Tampa, and he is Viv. He's actually Salvatore Convivio Rico, but his friends call him Viv. And convivio has a very special meaning in Italian. It kind of has this to live your life to the fullest kind of meaning. Yes, with life. And he takes that, Viv takes that to heart. And that's his personality. He tells very bad jokes.
Oh.
Viv jokes about everything, and his jokes are sometimes funny and they're sometimes just groan worthy. But he's full of life. Viv is absolutely full of life. And he meets Mariposa del Pilar Fuentes, and she is a Cuban American from a very historical family in Tampa. And it's One Night in Tampa is a retelling of Cinderella.
Oh.
It's a fairy tale retelling, except I don't have Cinderella. I have a Cinderfella, and that's all I'm going to say about that. You'll have to read Tampa.
Oh, that sounds like an amazing. Now tell me about your third one too that you put, that you shared. I got to share that one out on Twitter too. But
One Night in Seoul. I switched gears a little bit for One Night in Seoul. I kind of wanted to push myself boundaries wise as a writer, and I went a little harder into the thriller / suspense side of the house. Stormy Smith is a close protection agent, and she is given an extraction mission and a defense mission for Jordan Black. Now, Jordan Black is a white hat hacker. So he's a hacker for the good guys, quote unquote. his cover gets blown, and she is assigned to basically guard him, if you will, until the coast is clear. However, they were best friends in ROTC in college. They had one night together to say goodbye. And then they both think the other one ran out on them. So this is a little bit of a who ran out on whom and why. So it's a second chance romance. In addition to being a forced relationship, a fake relationship.
Okay.
So they have to pose as a married couple.
Okay, so that's interesting. That adds tension. That adds quite a bit of tension.
Yeah, there's a lot of tension. And their personalities, they're both just angry people. And they can be angry around the other one because the other one's angry too. So they just don't care. And one of the lines, I think it was Stormy who says in the book, like, we never had time for the passive aggressive bullshit. We were just both aggressive. so they might have a little bit of, you know, heated sex in that book, a little bit of angry sex going on. But in a good way.
In a good way.
In a good way. Let me assure all of my readers or would-be readers, consent is sexy and condoms are respectful. So I will write in consent everywhere, and I write in condoms everywhere. So
Well, you write contemporary. I write fantasy, so there's never any condoms.
Well, I'm actually a bit of a stretch. I'm actually going back to a mythological fantasy trilogy that I stopped writing on. I'm like 1.5 books written, and I stopped writing to write these one nights because they just look like too much fun to write. And you know what? They were. They were absolutely too much fun. I loved writing them. I adore these stories. So now I'm actually going back to that mythological fantasy trilogy, which is set in modern times with using old sacred stories and old sacred characters. But that's also a romance. So we get to kick the heat up and have a little, you know, how should I say?
No,
yeah.
Sorry.
So you said sex.
Explosive sex. You said erotic romance. So you are on the erotic romance spectrum then, a little bit more heat than, you know, no fade to black for you?
The one nights are all erotic romances.
Okay.
The mystics are romances. They are adult. So I don't know about you, but I find it hard to pick up any sort of adult romance these days. Like, there's got to be some sex in here somewhere. Don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. I am all about the tension. Don't get me wrong, but give me something to bookmark and go back to when I need it.
when I need it. Yeah. No, yes. Exactly. I like, it doesn't matter what I'm writing. I tend to write pretty heavily on the erotic romance side as well. So, I totally agree with you.
It's funny because when I first started writing, I still have the same two of the same original critique partners that I've ever had. And I was getting really frustrated with my story. And I called her. I'm like, I just don't understand why these characters keep wanting to kiss. I just don't know, like, what is going on? Like, my story kept going in the sexual direction. And she was like, she's not very subtle, which is good because I'm not either. She was like, did it ever occur to you to maybe you're a romance writer? And I was like, why would you say, why? Oh, okay. And then it just clicked. And once it clicked in my brain, after she told me, like, not anything I could figure out on my own, of course, but she was like, you might want to look into that. And I was like, oh, all right. So once I owned it, it was like full speed ahead. Like, really, we're not holding anything back anymore.
That's all. Now, are you through your public? Do you have a publishing house? I saw that name on there. Did you submit to them, or how did that work out? How did you get published?
The way the City Nights work is, you submit the first 5,000 words of the story. They tell you up front, don't write the whole thing. So you submit the first 5,000 words. If they like that, they will hold the city for you, and then you have 60 days to finish the novella.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's for the first one. So, I mean, that's what I did for Portland and chewing my nails down to nubs the whole time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came back and they're like, all right, we want more. And I'm like, all right, game on.
I can do this. Yeah.
Yep, I finished. And I actually stumbled. Believe it or not, I had it in my mind. The website said like 25 to 30,000 words. And I had it in my mind that 25 was the maximum. And the first time I submitted Portland, it was only like 22,000 or 23,000. And my editor came back and she was like, do you think you can get this up to 25,000? I was like, oh, snap. You know, I was thinking 25 was a max, but it was the minimum. And I'm like, yep, I can do that. I can throw another sex scene in there. We're good.
Yeah.
You know,
when in doubt, add another sex scene.
Well, it's funny because I have a lot of friends in the sci-fi and fantasy side of the house. And we talk about writing fight scenes versus writing sex scenes. And they're really not that different because whether you are writing a fight scene or a sex scene, you slow that down. Like, it becomes the slow motion part of the movie. And you have to know if you're writing fight or you're writing sex, where every hand is, where every foot is, yes, where every limit, like, you have to know where every little part is. You know, do we have a weapon? What are we doing with that weapon? You know, or a toy, mind you. But so it's actually very similar. And I have, you know, friends who will read my fight scenes and I will read their sex scenes. And I'm like, you're going a little fast here. Slow it down a little bit. Like, work it out, you know.
Do you like writing sex scenes?
I love them, which Me. Is fun. You know, the first sex scene I wrote, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I got like through two of them. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. I love writing these. yes, I love them. And I do put a lot of pressure on myself because I never want the same type of sex in two different books. I don't know. And I want every sex to build to better sex. Mm-hmm. And I want them all unique and different. So it's, I shouldn't put as much pressure on them as I on myself writing them as I do, but I do, but they come out great. I'm not bragging.
You can be confident. Be confident about your sex scenes, lady. Come on. It's okay.
They're good.
They're good. They're hot.
Actually, I have friends and readers. I hear from readers that I don't even know who they are. And they're like, this is a one-handed read. And I'm like, it's supposed to be a one-handed read, honey. That's okay. You know, bookmark, highlight, do whatever you want. It's a one-handed read. I accept that. And it should be. Because if it's not a one-handed read, I'm not doing my job.
Exactly. That's fantastic. I have some friends, they bundled the books together. I don't remember what, it was a promotion, and the promotion was called One-Handed Reads.
Oh, nice. Nobody called me for that.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'll make sure you're in on it next time.
Yes, please.
Oh, we were laughing. We're like, well, that's bold. Go for it. We were, Facebook, the way Facebook is these days, because the advertising is mostly on Facebook. But they got away with it. It was one-handed reading.
That's impressive. If they got that ad to pass, I am impressed. Let me just
part
say
of it
that.
Is the picture, you know, as long as you keep your picture, you know, not to.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of control over that. However, I do have an artist right now in South Africa who is doing some character art for me, some animated character art. Yeah. So I'm thinking I'm going to use that to kind of do some ads and.
Yeah, there you go. So how many books? I know you have more than three. It seems to me I clicked on something and I'm like, wow.
Oh, wow. No. Hold on. I have three in the One Night series. And my One Nights, the Portland, Tampa, and Seoul are number 37, 38, and 39. The 36 books in that series before me are all by different writers. Those are not by me. So I'm sure you clicked on that. No. Those are not all mine.
I'm not sure. But it seems you have other books out, don't you? Or is it just those three?
I have those three out now. I have those others that I'm writing slash written slash planned slash plotted slash I have know. So many to come. So many to come. And I am a serious pursuit. You know, I am up 4:30 to 5 in the mornings and I stop sometime at 10 at night.
Wow. Are you writing the whole time? Is this like your discipline? Because can I have some of that?
I'm insane. I don't recommend it. Be normal, please. Be normal.
No, I need to get, you know, I wrote three books in 3 months and it was awesome. Of course, you know, I didn't really do anything else.
Right.
People are like, right. I was working nights and 11-hour nights. So I wrote then. And then I came home and slept and didn't do really anything for my family. So, I didn't do anything else. So I can be done. But, you know, to be a nice person and call people and like have a life. No, I can't. I know.
I have been trying very hard this year to keep myself in an exercise routine and just for my benefit and my happiness. And, I've been watching what I eat. So I have to make little changes in my routine because if I try to do too much at once, I'll just get frustrated and stop.
So I'm trying to exercise really well. Too. All that sitting is just not, you know,
it's not. You know what? I plopped down yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I had a yoga ball in front of my desk. So I just sat on that. That's what was there. And oh, my stars, did I get up like whatever time I got up last night and I hurt my back. It's kind of like the top of my hip, but I don't think I was supposed to sit on that thing all day.
I was telling somebody I need a nice ergonomic, I can't even say it, but I need a better setup and I need to exercise more. I've scheduled the classes. I'm trying to do the classes, but you know, it's all Zoom right now and it's not the same, but still. Okay. So you are a romance writer and you're also a romance reader. What are you reading now?
I'm actually transitioning right now. Because I just finished a beta read. I beta read a lot.
Oh, that's awesome. Writers, she's a beta reader too. I know lots of people, we need more beta readers. Where do you find them?
Get into a group. yeah, get into some sort of group. So, and I just went, I attended Chicago North RWA Spring Fling.
Oh, wow.
And was that last weekend or weekend before last? It was all virtual. But let me tell you, I am a sucker for guilt-free shopping. I am not a shopper. I hate shopping. I hate spending money. But if you put a silent auction in front of me, oh, girl, we are going to town. And they had a huge silent auction with some wonderful things. And I probably bid on 17 different things.
Because you could so just lucky. Bid a little bit and you don't know, you know, that's so cool.
I don't. Yeah. I have art and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Luckily, I did not win everything. So I'm not broke at the moment. But I did pick up some amazing books by Mickey Kendall. And A. D'Amico is Amazon's abolitionist and activist. And this is a graphic history of women's fight for their rights. I love graphic novels. If I could see, well, probably not my One Nights because that would just be porn. But my Mystics trilogy, if somebody would turn those into graphic novels, I would be in absolute heaven.
Oh man, I want to do that. I would love, oh, that would be so cool. What a cool idea. Yeah.
I got Sing, Unburied Sing, a novel by Jasmine Ward, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, Jasmine Ward, I've heard of her.
Hood Feminism, also by Mickey Kendall. And this is Notes from the Women That a Movement Forgot. So, and I don't read very much. Well, let me say this. I'm very picky about my nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very excited to get into this one. And it's also recommended, I think, like if you read White Fragility, which I did, like pick this one up. So I'm ready to move on with that one. But let's see. So what I tuned into a little bit from Chicago Spring Fling. This is going to make me sound like a terrible person. I'm also very picky about my historical romances. Beverly Jenkins, I will read everything she ever writes. I love her historicals. And I picked up Hamilton's Battalion, and it's a trio of romances set during, you know, the Revolutionary War time. It's three novellas, and Rose Lerner, Courtney Milan, and Alyssa Cole all have.
Okay, there you go. Those are good authors. So.
Yes, very excited to read this. I think I'm just going to move that one to the top of the pile. Shh, we're not going to tell anybody. There it goes. Yep. I have Eleanor and Park coming up by Rainbow Rowell, yeah. which is just thrills me to no end. I'm so adorable. I really need to.
My girlfriend was like, you should read this Eleanor and Park. I think I remember I did. I've steamed through some books so fast sometimes that
I do. Sometimes I've gone through.
I have to go back to it and I just need to read a line and then I'd be like, okay, now I remember. And others that I read 20 years ago, I still remember the whole plot line. It's so funny. But if it's recent.
I have been plowing through Alyssa Cole's contemporaries, her Reluctant Royal series. Mm-hmm. And I read the first one. And when I got to, have you read any of those yet?
I don't think so.
I got to, you would know. It's one of the, it's unforgettable.
Probably in general, I don't read unless it's short, nasty erotica. I don't read a lot of contemporary.
So I tend to read.
I saw you had, there was, I think you showed me some of your books in your, I can't remember the one. It's a fantasy one. Is it the Wish Giver? The rhyme? I can't remember. But there was a book there. I'm like, oh, that's one of my favorite authors. She also did, and now I can't remember. It'll come to me. Keep talking. It'll be there, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I know. I said it wrong. But
I appreciate authors who are so brave. They make my writing braver. Alyssa Cole is one of those. When I was reading the first book in the Reluctant Royal series, and I get to the line, and it's in the very, I think it's in chapter one. And she was like, that motherfucker just tried to give me his work again, paraphrasing here. And I was like, oh my God, I love her. I am instantly in love with her and with this character and the fact that she would write that, you know. So now, is all the fantasy you read, is it all epic, or do you read any modern fantasy?
Oh, I know. I read some modern, too. I read, so like Ruby Dixon, you know, and I read I'm writing now, so I don't read as much when I'm writing. Yeah. And I'm editing. So it's actually been a while since I've sat down and really read a good book. But I read, I want to say Larissa Therone, and you know, just all kinds of. I sound like I never read. No, it's not true. I do. Oh gosh, I have to look them up. I should have a list of my favorite authors that I read that are like on Kindle, and then my print books that I read is like. The Black Jewels trilogy is one of my favorite. That is, yeah, stuff like that. Just all different. I'm like, does she read? No, I do. Oh, really?
No, yeah, I'm right there. And sometimes when you read so much, it's like, you know, that book.
Yeah, that book there. Yeah. I mean, my Amazon account says I read a ton, but that's my phone. I'm going to silence that. I do read some contemporary, but just not a ton. It just depends. There you go.
Now, what about steampunk? Do you read any steampunk?
Oh, who's one? Beck McMaster? Isn't she one? She wrote some steampunk. Yes, I do read
Gail
some
Carriger.
I read all. I haven't read anything. I read the first four. Of that series. I haven't read anything that she's come out with in a while, just because I've been buying Kindle books and she wasn't on Kindle. So, or, you know, Kindle Unlimited books, and she's not on that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I love Gail. The first time I read the first book in that series, The Paris, I was like,
yeah,
this is an amazing combination.
Yes. Okay, so similar vein, but not exactly. Did you read The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern?
I picked it up, but I did not read it.
Okay, I highly recommend it.
There was something about the first chapter. I'm like, I need to sit down and focus or something. I don't know, but yeah. I know what to do.
That is a focus. She finally just this year published her second book, like 8 years between the two.
And that's another reason I don't like to read. I'm one of those nasty readers. If you're writing a series, I don't want to read it till it's finished.
Oh, I think they're standalones. I don't think it's a series.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's a problem with a lot of fantasies these days is everything comes out in trilogies or it's broken up and I'm like, oh, okay, no. And then I forget. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read that. And then it's come out. Did you like The Night Circus?
I did very much.
I know it's very popular.
It's very beautifully written. There are a lot of people who have major complaints with it, but it's very visual and you can see it. And if she wrote beautifully, it was a NaNoWriMo book, actually.
I can't remember what it was that it was like, no, I can't, I don't have, sometimes, you know, some books, like, I love George R.R. Martin, right? The fantasy, mm-hmm. epic fantasy, but you have to sit down, it takes you 2 weeks to read it, and you're consumed with it. It becomes your life. Yes. And so I don't have time for that. And there I'm not one of those readers
who can do that.
Yeah, step away. All right, you know, I'll read one chapter. No,
yeah, you can't do that. That's the last romance, Shelley Lawrenson's The Unleashing.
Yes, I've read a lot of her early work because she was on, I think she started with Laura Cave. Do you remember them, the ebook company?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I think she did. And that is where I read a lot of her early works. I haven't, once they go to hardbacks though, you hit my budget a little bit. And
yeah, well, the Unleashing, it was a trilogy, but I did not expect it to be a trilogy because the cast was so huge in this book. And I'm like, this is going to be 15 or 20 books. Like, there are so many people. But it didn't. I mean, it was only a trilogy. But that was one of those where I kept trying to go back to. But because the cast was so huge and she kept changing POVs, I'm like, no, I just need to sit and finish this in one sitting. Or, as close to one sitting as I can get. Because it's just, there are too many people that it's bouncing back and forth on. So it was a good book. But it was not one that you can just pick up and go back to 2 weeks later because the characters kept changing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I totally know. I haven't, who I haven't read is Sarah J. Maas. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have not read that. I've been meaning to because I've heard a lot about it. But I think, is it a love triangle? I'm kind of one of those old fat, I don't do, sometimes I'll do a reverse harem. But mm-hmm. love triangles drive me nuts.
Do they?
I just want people to make a decision. Yeah. I'm like, don't do that. If you really love somebody, you choose and you decide and you move on. I've been married too long, I guess.
I have a soft spot for them.
Do you?
Okay, at the same time, I'm not one of those people who hates other people. I actually like people. I think people are infinitely interesting. I think every person on this planet has something unique and interesting about them. So I'm all about making friends all the time. And so I actually understand the love triangle
thing. How you can get into that love triangle kind of thing.
Yeah.
I get it. I have a friend who, oh, never mind. I can't talk about that. But I can get in trouble.
We are not spilling anybody's tea here.
Yeah, no tea today. Yeah. I'd get in too much trouble. But, Twitter is a unique place when it comes to love triangles. Let me just throw that out there about the dirty Twitter. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, see, I think there's a whole lot of people on Twitter who have Twitter crushes.
Oh, yes. And all kinds of things are happening.
Wow. You get more dirt than I get dirt. Girl, I need some of that dirt you're getting.
I'm going to put this out there. Just people will hear this and be like, oh, I would love to write a Twitter tell-all book. I never will. But somebody needs to because, like do the Hollywood kind of thing. What is that? Mm-mm. She did the Hollywood tell-all and she changed the names and you'd be like, and she'd be like, these are real people. And who is that? I can't remember. Collins, whatever her name is. And it's kind of thing. Somebody needs to write the dirty Twitter tell-all book. Come on. Stick that on Amazon. Not tell anybody who you are. No, it won't be me because it's contemporary. And because I would have to sit down and like pay attention and write, take notes. And I'm a pantser like 100%. So it won't be me. So audience, if you're listening, it's not going to happen.
But see, and if I wrote it, I would write it all in tweets.
Would you?
It would be like Bridget Jones's diary, but instead of her diary entries, it would be all in tweets.
I'd so love to do that. That was so bad. But I've been asked not to actually.
So, you got the good dirt.
Twitter is the place. It is the place. You get on there for a while and you start talking to people and but I won't.
It is a beast of its own making. I'm not going to lie.
It is. It has some good points. It has some really awesome, amazing things. But there's also, if you spend time there and in the community, it's like any other community, stuff happens. So anyway, so we're not going to talk about that. So you have three books out in this marvelous series, Everything Based on a City. Yes. What is your next project?
My next project is the Mystics of the High Council trilogy.
So that'll be, and that's your fantasy. That's your,
Yeah, that's the mythological fantasy. Awesome. And it is more modern set. I draw from the Book of Job, and I draw from one of the stories in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I have a master's in religious studies, by the way, so I read a lot of sacred texts. And I've kind of taken a few old sacred stories and kind of running with them.
Cool.
Yeah. But I like to do that. I like to find dead gods and play with them a little bit.
Play with them, bring them out. That's really neat. That's,
yeah, I am actually resurrecting the dead god.
That's very cool. I get that. That's a neat thing to do, to take a little bit of history and just stick it in and just, you know, see what, you know, make it into fantasy, but also a little bit alternate history maybe. Mm-hmm. So do you have on your website, do you review the books you read? Do you share them out, or are you,
I am terrible at that. I try to remember to rate them on Goodreads.
Yeah.
But, I see Goodreads as an author. I see Goodreads as more for readers, and that's kind of a reader sandbox. That's not really for me to play in. So I have become a little bit more active in starting to pay attention to keeping a list of the books that I want to read, which is helpful because I don't really have anywhere else to do that. You know, one of the authors that I listened to during Spring Fling is Scarlett Peckham. Mm-hmm. And she writes historical romances, but she writes them with a very gothic flair. And that really attracted my attention. So I got on Goodreads and I'm like clicking all of her books, like want to read, just to make sure that I have somewhere to go back and find them. So I really am looking forward to that. Now, I don't know how much you like gothic romances. I'm going to be burned at the cross for this, but Wuthering Heights.
Wuthering Heights is not my favorite, just because
I'm so glad you just said that.
Oh,
Wuthering Heights to me was 47 chapters of everybody whining about their life.
I know. Like,
people, get over yourself. I was not terribly fond of it. If I can dig into a gothic romance that has a little more modern flair to it, I'm excited to dig into Scarlett Peckham's. Now, Jane Eyre, I did like, because Jane Eyre had, in my opinion, a bit more of a story and backstory to it, and I love backstory.
Yeah, Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I could talk about that for hours. I love Jane Eyre. Right. Wuthering Heights, there's just such a contrast between the two and the characters and the selfishness and the, you know, there's so much. But then you get Rochester and he's like, oh man, he's like the archetype for every rake to come after. You know, yeah. I read a lot of historicals and bodice rippers in the when they started coming out in the 80s and the 90s, when they started getting sexy. And I'm like, when I finally got around to Jane Eyre, I'm like, I read like 40 stories with him. Because he's not really nice to her. He's manipulative. He's hiding something in the closet. But he's also, for a character of that time, he's way more sexual than, you know, you can feel the tension. And that's why the housekeeper, she's like, is he going to take, are you going to let him take care of you, take advantage of you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's more, there's, and then she's like, no, you made me feel like a strong person. I'm going to live like this strong person and walk away from you. And, that's one of my
feminism
favorite stories.
Yes!
I know, right? Isn't it like early feminism?
Yes.
She takes control of her life in every way, shape, or form. Yeah. First from getting the job and then from leaving him when he's the love of her life. She's like, nope, I'm better than this. And I loved that. And then when her missionary guy, I can't remember, you know, she's like, no, I'm better than that. I can, you know, I don't need to sacrifice and go and be a mission wife for you. I'm happy. I can find my own contentment. I'm like, wow, this is, when was this? It gives me the shivers.
Yes. So fun little tidbit. There was a series of bodice rippers written by Sir Jan Gallon, And it was actually a husband and wife team of Serge and Anne called Angelique. And the entire series, yeah, it's 14 books published in French and in English. The 15th book was never finished. Serge actually passed before Anne did, and she never finished the last book. I was actually named after that series of bodice rippers.
Wow. How cool is that? That's amazing. Yeah.
So I tell my mother, I'm like, you know, it's just kind of fate. I don't think I have much control in this. Like, and my mother was reading them at the time she was pregnant with me, which is how I wound up with the name.
Well, your mother has good taste. You know, I love the bodice rippers. I just love it. And there's so much about them that I'll read some of the dark romances or something that, you know, the mafia romances, those are contemporaries that I'll read because they're not really very realistic, or the biker romances or whatever. And I'll read those and, I'll be like, these are so much like the bodice rippers, only they're quicker to reads and they don't have the language. I miss the language. When I first started writing, it's still in my writing a little bit, but some of that, if you've ever read Kathleen Woodiwiss, Shana, and The Wolf and the Dove, and I went back and read some, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love these, but these are so overwritten, I have no idea. Yeah. I'm like, wow, a publisher would like red pen this to death these days.
Yeah.
But oh, I love these words and this language.
Kit Rocha. Have you read Kit Rocha?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The Beyoncé. Okay. Yes. I'm chomping at the bit to read the first of the Mercenary Librarians. I haven't read that yet. They have a new series coming out. Mercenary Librarians. Like, does it get any sexier than that? Mercenary Librarians. Mercenary. Like, there's nothing sexier.
See, this is how I didn't know there was a new. That's going to be Mercenary Library. How cool. Ooh.
I know. Like, seriously, how sexy is that? It's one of my two favorite things.
Very, very sexy. There's another fantasy. There's somebody. She did it. It's a reverse harem, but they're like Vikings on motorcycles, which is very cool. In an alternate, in a dystopian world, which makes it even more interesting. And then there's another series. It's like, I don't know, but yeah, fun stuff. I love romance books, and I love it when they take. You know, they blend the. One reason I don't like contemporary. Is because I don't want to be caught off guard with sad things. There's enough sad things in life. And, you know, the dog dies. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe they put that in the book. Or, so you know, or it's a mother overcoming or a divorce or something. That's why I love the fantasy is because, you know, when you put, even if it has realistic things in it, bye, Quincy. Thank you for listening. Quincy's in the chat, people. He's so loyal.
Oh, hi, Quincy.
But that's one reason why I love the fantasy is because, you know, it's out of my present life. And although contemporary romance is kind of fantasy too in its own way.
So, okay. I'm going to throw something at you. The Magicians. Have you read them by Lev Grossman?
No, but I've heard of them.
Sci-fi turned them into a series. Just watch the series. Like I don't know how much TV you watch, but
hardly any. I used to all the time. I don't know what I do with my time. I think I'm on Twitter. That's why I could write a dirty Twitter book tell all is because I spend too much time on Twitter. That's what it is. Because I don't watch TV.
I think you would like the dichotomy in the Magicians of two different schools of magic. School. So think, in the books, it's basically Harry Potter goes to college. Now, sci-fi, of course, kicks that up a notch so they can throw a bunch of sex in there. And it turns into, instead of just college, they're going to grad school. So they have finished 4 years, you know, so they're a little bit older. And in the books, Lev Grossman touches on basically two different avenues to approach magic. One of them is the scholastic way, but one of them is, you know, what he calls head witches. And it's basically kind of street back alley magic. He touches on it a little bit in the books, but what sci-fi does is the writers in this series, and I really appreciate these writers, they've taken that concept and really brought out that other concept of hedge witches. So it's this real dichotomy of how you get magic versus how I get magic. And it's the hedge witches versus the scholastics. And it's just really fun. And the characters are changed a little bit. The timeline is all complicated, which is even better. So this is one of those shows that sci-fi actually did a really good job of.
Oh, good. Wow.
And you can read the books and they're good, but watch the show if you don't have time. And it is a sit down. Yeah, it's the Magician series. The TV show is great. It's kind of like Altered Carbon too.
Oh, I loved Altered Carbon. You know, Netflix. Yes, I quite a bit loved it.
Yes,
that was I saw season one. It's so sexy.
Yeah. And I read the first book of that. And the first book got a little convoluted toward the end as far as like solving the mystery goes. Mm-hmm. But Netflix was the writers, and I'm giving the writers credit here. They were able to streamline that and make it easier to follow. So if you like that, have you seen? Okay.
I didn't realize it was a book. That's how out of the loop I am on things. Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm a terrible.
Okay,
terrible
one more TV show since we're talking about TV shows. Into the Badlands.
Yes.
Love it. Love it.
I think that's one of my girlfriend's favorite shows. She talks about it all the time. Yes.
Oh my stars, I can't believe it got canceled. What the hell is wrong with people? It's so good. And it goes in so many different directions. So it's kind of this dystopian / alternate history / bringing in some mysticism toward the end. But that really gets convoluted with science. And you can't really tell which one's coming from where. And it's, I cannot believe they canceled that show. I don't know what the hell these be. And I think it was just, there are big thinking shows and there aren't. And I think maybe they just got too big thinking. For a bigger audience, but so good. And it's swords. It's sword fighting everywhere. Swords. Like, what's not to love? Swords and motorcycles. See, talking about crossing boundaries, like swords and motorcycles.
That is
come fantastic. On.
It How really hot is that? That is awesome. I love that.
Freaking sexy. And Sunny. How hot is Sunny? I mean, come on now.
God, I don't. Yeah, I Googled it. I haven't watched that. I'm going to. Now I got to watch.
Oh, God, girl. I don't have time. See, now you need to watch it. You need to watch it and then call me back.
We will chat. We'll come on and we'll have a whole conversation about it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome. So we have been chatting for almost an hour, so I'm gonna close
up.
I know, right? How fun.
Wow.
It is easy. Sometimes I'm gonna be interviewing a couple. I think next week. He is a erotic photographer, and is often his model. But she has this story of overcoming cancer and being a survivor. And then he's doing this other thing on the side. And I'm like, I'm not going to have enough time I got to hear her story. I can't not miss that awesome story because she's gorgeous and she's done, you know, I can't miss that, but he's got, I don't know. Two people at once is just going to kill me. So you got your three books, and is there anything else? I like to give people a chance to share with the audience. Anything else? I'll post your social media stuff in my feed, as well as after Podbean sometimes takes a while, but I'll repost our interview and then all your links will be in the notes. But is there anything else you'd like to share now that you have an audience to talk to?
You know what?
My 10 people. No, there's more than 10, I promise. But you know.
I just honestly, I am flattered and honored that 10 plus more of you actually came to the phone today to listen to me gab and geek out over books and over romance and a few TV shows. If you need something to listen to is just a different medium, I actually make playlists for all of my books and they're on Spotify by book. So if you want to get a feel for the books, even before you read them, because I'm sure you're going to read them now, right? That's what everybody's going to do. They're going to run out and buy my books. And let me give you the link. The easiest link to find them, to find my books, is TIRPUB.com/AMIGLIORE. Because they are coded as erotic romance, Amazon likes to hide them. But if you go to that link, and it's basically my link, my author page on my publisher sites, you can buy them through Apple, Kobo, Nook, Smashwords. Like, they're available anywhere.
Awesome. So you're wide too. So make sure to send that link to me in the chat. Oh, that's or oh, in my yes. on Twitter. In my
yes,
chat.
I will do so that. Sorry.
That's okay. And I'll make sure to get that out to everybody. Yeah, that's very cool.
Yes. Yeah. Thank erotic you coming.
Amazon does hide the erotic, but Amazon is like, oh, we
don't. You know what? I have read contemporary books with just as much sex in them as mine, but they're coded as contemporary. And there they are, boom, right in front of everybody's faces. I'm like, y'all need to like either get fair about this or just stop discriminating.
That's just it. It's like either, you know, first your guidelines are so general. Whatever, you know, it's like common sense, whatever,
right.
You know.
And,
so you can pick and choose, and you do. There's no streamline. There's no like black and white standard. If you have this, or if you have, there's nothing there. It's keywords in your blurb. Sometimes it's so arbitrary. It's right. Maddening.
And if I can buy sex toys on Amazon and search sex toys and lubes and everything else that goes with that, then my book should be able to be searchable too. That's all I'm saying, because I can Google.
Oh my gosh,
you know, I can search and buy whatever sex toys I want. I'm like, oh, look at this. What do you know? It's in purple. They come in purple these days.
I know. And you can know, it's so funny. And then the reviews for the sex toys too are just
know.
We did that. I had a show where we read sex toy Amazon reviews.
Nice.
There's two reviews. There's one review for the one sex toy by Tracy's dog, and there's a review for men for Veet. Oh, so hilarious. Anyways, I should let you go.
Oh my goodness. We are buddies now. I just want you to know. We are totally buddies now, and you can call me anytime off the show. Just call.
I will.
We'll chat.
We'll chat. We got to get together and talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's good. Oh gosh, some of the things I've done to get a laugh have been a little bit too much.
But, I know, right?
You know, it's COVID. We need to laugh. So,
agreed. Agreed.
Oh, and the sex. Yeah, that's true. Amazon. That's true. In fact, I'm just going to put this out there. I bought one, a sex toy. Mm-hmm. And you know how Amazon, you know, has your cart, and usually it doesn't, you open it up and usually the last thing you bought, it might be in a little thing or whatever. I bought one, and then for a month it was huge. It was like the biggest window. Every time I opened my account, right there, you know, my kids could be anywhere. Every stinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so ashamed.
Right? Was it the and remote control? Do you get the one with the remote control?
No.
Girl,
no,
that one. We need to talk about the remote control.
I want to get a blue. Oh no, you're going to get me in so much trouble. I'm stopping. Okay. Thank you. We're coming on.
It was my pleasure, I assure you.
You have a fantastic day. This will probably, sometimes it takes a couple hours for it to generate, but I'll post it out and tag you for sure.
That's just fine. And I'll get you my book link too.
Okay,
so.
Please do. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for joining me. I'm trying to turn on music and it's not turning on. So where's the music? There is no music today. Okay. Well, I guess we're not having music. So thank you guys for joining Isabel and Wright's Grown Up Storytime. And I hope that you come back to listen again.